Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right.
Behold the glory!
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config MSI directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
All right.
Can we get the 12-inch version of the blah, blah, blah? I'm not ready yet.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah. Good morning, everybody.
Blah, blah, blah. Good
blah,
morning.
Blah, blah, blah. Good morning. This is Tech Talk. That's Michael Tech Talk.
It is.
Kassler.
It is.
I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki.
It is.
We're so happy to be with you this morning. Thanks for, I bet you most of you are listening by accident, but that's okay. Hang on.
It is just stay tuned to WRLR. Something better is bound to come on sooner or later, right? So
well, yeah.
you can't miss out
patient, yeah.
Too much. Yeah. Yeah, we're all here pretty much in one piece. I had a traumatic event this last weekend, but
oh yeah, yeah. You never got back to me. I know you were posting on Facebook. And I was making one of my rare visits to Facebook and saw that you had injured yourself.
I did.
A bicycling accident.
I did. I had a pretty bad bicycling accident. I was not a motorbike, fortunately, just a regular standard, two-wheeler.
Eco-friendly.
Zooming around.
Green.
I was being very green. I was going to the store to buy things instead of taking my car. I went, yeah. I was picking up dinner for the babysitter because we're going to go to my wife's reunion, and was in an unfamiliar area, didn't know what I was doing, didn't pay attention to the fact that I was not on what I thought was this safe and kind of restricted bike path,
yeah.
And instead I was crossing traffic. I was there was these one lane sort of not driveways but like alleys kind of thing. But out in the burbs, you don't see alleys too often. It was in this residential area where they had
that's
alleys.
One of the shortcomings of the suburbs, I think.
No alleys.
No, alleys are very, utilitarian.
They're very useful. Yeah, it's true. It's true. They make very good use of space.
Higher quality of life if you have an alley,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't help me, though.
It didn't work out for you.
All of a sudden, I realized where I was because a car zipped in front of me about 3 or 4 feet in front of my face down one of these alleys. And being the somewhat, I'm a relatively experienced, but I'm not, super experienced biker, instead of dumping the bike, which is what I should have done, I did the amateur thing, which was to slam on both of the brakes as hard as I could, which, of course, if you're going 15 miles an hour, sends you cartwheeling through the air. So anyways, I got a bit of road rash, a chin ding, and then a broken elbow. But
broken?
Yeah. But it's no big deal. It ain't no thing. In fact, it's such a small, minor fracture that they had me take the sling off. He said the biggest danger.
There's a fair amount of swelling still.
Yeah. Well, that's muscle. That's all muscle right there. No, that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
Such a minor fracture. They said our worry is about
goes our credibility,
range of motion as opposed to whether it's going to set properly. So here we are, and I've got some good meds and I'm doing fine.
Oh, in that case, it should be a great show.
we'll try to slide through without too much going on. We got a great show though today. Fortunately, you won't have to rely on me and my soporific brain to get us through this. We've got Jay Garman is going to be on in just a couple minutes.
Yay, gotta love Jay.
Do him quick and early here. I'm not taking
I'll
that.
Go ahead. I'm not. I'm not going to do it.
And then immediately thereafter, we're going to bring on the guys from VaporStream and IT Harvest. We're going to actually have Jack Hembrough, who's the CEO of VaporStream, and then Richard Steenan, I don't know how to pronounce his name exactly, Steenan, I believe, from IT Harvest. And they're going to talk to us about some of the issues we've heard in the news lately and with some accidental disclosure of messaging and some ways that you can not do that, or and all that. And they're also going to tell us about a new contest going on, the Blundies. So
The Blundies.
Yeah, I'm going to let them tell you about it.
That's probably good. So can you stay tuned, folks, to find out what a Blundie is.
But it sounds like fun. It sounds like fun either way.
Yeah.
So what's been happening in tech this week, Dave? I'm hoping you can tell me.
Don't know. What's the name of this organization? Retrievo. Do you know who Retrievo is?
Retrievo. I don't believe so.
They do consumer electronics reviews, and they commissioned a study about social networking.
Okay.
And whether you've ever done anything. The whole Wiener scandal, which I don't think we've talked. Have we talked much about the Wiener scandal?
We really haven't talked about Wiener too much on here.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing restraint on our parts. But it turns out more people than you think have tweeted something or posted something on Facebook that they regret.
Yeah.
What do you think? How many people out of a survey? They surveyed 1,000 people. How many people do you think regretted?
Tweeted something they regretted.
Yeah, tweeted something they regretted.
It had to be close to half, maybe.
Yeah, well, a little more, 54%.
54%.
Yeah. But that figure goes as that high if people had smartphones. If you didn't have a smartphone or it was like 1 in 3.
Okay, yeah.
So you're more likely to tweet foolishly if you have a smartphone.
I've heard that. I mean, you know, they should change the name. They should call them a dumb phone because people just act dumb when they got them.
Do they really?
I think I've been hearing a lot about that. But not only that, but I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. McAfee had come out with a not a similar survey, but a survey about the number of people that have gone to phishing sites and to malware sites.
Yeah.
It's much, much more prevalent now with the mobile phones.
Yeah, we did discuss that. Yeah.
People don't think. They don't think about it as much.
They're distracted.
Yeah.
They're distracted. And also the graphics aren't as good, so you can't, you know, oftentimes I've seen, with the phishing sites I've seen, the graphics are pretty cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on a smartphone, I wouldn't look that.
Well, I think, you know, things are a little different today, too. You know, back in our day, there was always the drunk dialing danger, you know, that you'd...
Exactly.
You'd think, boy, this is the perfect time to tell that ex-girlfriend of mine exactly what I think of her. And maybe you'd make a fool of yourself, but unless you...
Yeah,
unless,
it was private.
Yeah,
unless you had you on speakerphone at the... at the basketball game, yeah.
Or you left a message
on
the voicemail.
Yeah.
Then that might get passed around a bit.
Yeah.
But nowadays, people do, you know, not just drunk Twittering and drunk texting, but you got this, you know, you got a camera on every blasted phone that there is.
Yeah.
And so people are taking pictures
of criminals take pictures of their crimes.
Oh, yeah.
Get caught.
Yeah.
But, with the drunk dialing, that, you know, the celebrated in song by Lady Antebellum. What? Have you heard that song? It's 3 a.m. Oh, it was a big hit like a year or two ago. You know, it's actually mainstream music. I'm not surprised that you haven't heard of it. But she's talking about dialing. I'm a little drunk and I need you now. It's, you know, I forget what time she is. She's like, it's early morning. Like,
you know. Make it a big call.
Yeah.
Make it a booty call.
Actually, it's a very sweet, poignant song, but it's basically drunk dialing. So, and you know what? You know what struck me when I was thinking about this whole congressman? Congressman, by the way, Congressman Wiener, if you don't know the story, he just resigned late last week because he was caught sending pictures of his private parts to people uninvited. Good plan, Mike. Sending pictures of his private parts without, prior approval.
Yeah, well, now he was clothed, though, right? It was always with his underwear.
Not necessarily. Apparently, there's some...
there's more risque.
Yeah, that, you know, the whole thing came out very strange. It came out in dribbles and drabs. it's just one of those odd... And this is a phenomenon we should talk about sometimes. Why do men feel the need to take pictures of their private parts and send them around? Brett Favre, probably one of the, probably the best quarterback ever in the NFL, just totally tarnished his reputation sending pictures of his junk around.
I went on a rant about Favre one week when you were not here because I was so disappointed in that, and I still can't get this through my head. Okay, I just don't get that. I can understand. I mean, men like their stuff. You know, we do. Yeah. We like it. We enjoy it. It's good for a lot of things. But what is it that goes through a guy's head when they you know, okay, I've called this girl. I've met her in person. I've asked her out several times, and she said no. Yeah. What makes you think, you know what, if she could just see my junk? I know. Oh, if she only saw what I had under the covers here.
But from the birth of the internet, this has been an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember very clearly early on with the webcams. When webcams first, when bandwidth was finally sufficient that you could actually send a decent webcam photo over, and there was a hosting site, you know, a precursor to YouTube, where it was actually live webcam feeds. Somebody was hosting this, and you'd go and it would be page after, you know, there'd be these thumbnail photograph, you know, a little thumbnail streak there. There'd be like 10 of them on a page or something. You flip page after page. It would be people. It was gonna be guys' junk.
Yep.
Very early on.
Then there was chat roulette and you know, all the other business I don't know. I don't know. You know, humanity never ceases to surprise me.
Well, no, it doesn't. Well, that's because you look at it the wrong way. You know, I mean, humanity is, you know, more than the Bible. It's more than the great philosophers. It's more than the great artists and all that. I think we're kind of just, we're shaved monkeys with car keys, and some of us have figured out, you know, how to do, like, really neat tricks, but we're
but at the bottom, when you get down to the bottom line,
yeah, impulse control is just one of those things that we all struggle with. We all struggle with various impulses, and that's what keeps us civilized. But you know, sometimes, you know, here's a guy who's a congressman, who's achieved great stature in society, and it's like, oops. But you know what I'm thinking? What I was wondering as a side effect of this scandal, I wonder how the hot dog industry is doing.
Oh,
yeah. I bet you there's a big spike.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard there was a big spike.
Yeah. I heard it wasn't that big. No.
All right.
Yeah. Where's this? Where's this nerd job?
Someone needs to open up a Wienergate dogs or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just think in general, it's subliminal advertising. You hear wiener, wiener, wiener all the time. It's like, yeah, well.
Yeah, you know, I am a little hungry.
Stop at Dog and Sons, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Let's call our good friend Jay, get him rolling on this, too. I promised him we were going to call him early here, and of course.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of looking at them. Yeah. Yeah, what's early for us?
Well, this is not too bad.
Jay!
Good morning, Jay. I was just saying, we told you we were going to call you early, and this almost is, kind of. It almost counts.
On the first half ring.
Yeah.
I live to serve, guys. I wait with bated breath your invasion of my Saturday every week.
Well, stop eating that bait.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, I've got a good friend who would make a comment about eating worms with that, but... Well, Jay, it's good to hear from you on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday in the Midwest here. We're enjoying some fantastic weather and all sorts of good stuff.
Well, I'm glad you guys are enjoying weather. I can't complain too much. The storms have broken now, but I got to play the comforting father when at about 7 a.m. we got one of those out-of-nowhere giant theatrical horror movie strikes of lightning that sort of rattled the whole house. And those of us with children know exactly what that means. The call from the other end of the house,
Daddy!
Tipping right over Mom, right to Dad. It's like I'm about to do battle with Thor personally.
Well, they know Dad's taller, probably, and makes a better lightning rod.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
They hit me first.
Exactly. Man, I thought I have that kind of centrist view that I figure if I look out the window and see sun, everybody must be looking out the window and seeing sun, but obviously not true in the days of instant communication across the country here. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, that has changed the weather.
Yeah.
Well, and we have a listenership that has to span at least beyond our personal families, right?
Well, yeah. You know, actually, one of our most vocal and consistent listeners is from way down under Australia, Lou from Australia. We haven't...
waved to him in a while.
Absolutely. Haven't sent out a shout-out to him in quite some while. Yeah, and we got St. Louis, Steve from St. Louis. We got a lot of kind of out there listeners, or, you know, away from us sort of listeners, I should say. I'd almost be willing to hazard a guess that quite a significant percentage of our listenership is not live or local, even though we tout ourselves as a live and local radio station. Dave's shaking his head.
They ignore what we say. They take from us as they need. Let's not criticize them for that.
No. I think that's a fine thing. I have absolutely no problem with that at all.
It's the age in which we live.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I watch very little live television these days.
I watched some David Letterman last night, and I was very frustrated because I couldn't go back. And I was like, wait, what did he say? And it was, it was the first time I watched live TV in, probably about a year, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
So if people out there are not time shifting us, you can. You go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, or you can find us on iTunes, too. I should throw in a little plug for ourselves.
Cool.
I don't do that often enough either.
So did you promise Jay that we wouldn't keep him on the air a long time?
I did. So, Jay, the Wii U just came out. We've got Nintendo. We've got Sony. We've got Microsoft, but we've known them for a long time as being competitors, of being against each other. But you were telling us last week that there's actually two of them were planning on collaborating on a single console time ago.
Back in about 1989, 1990, the PlayStation came out in 1991. And when it came out, it came out about a year late, because originally it was going to be the Super Nintendo PlayStation. If you go way back in time, you may recall that the old rivalry was the Super Nintendo versus the Sega Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
And Sega had upped the game by adding a CD drive to the Genesis called the Mega CD. It didn't actually do that well in the United States, but it did well in Japan. And so Nintendo, because it was always a cartridge-based game company, didn't really know anything CDs. So it went to one of the two companies that made the CD, Sony, and said, can you make us a CD-ROM drive for the Super Nintendo? And we'll join forces and just run Sega out of the business and own the whole world. And Sony said, absolutely, we can do that. And they collaborated for the better part of a year. And they get to the end of the project, and there's prototype photos, you can go Google them, of the Super Famicom or Super Nintendo PlayStation, which was sometimes two words and sometimes one. They had mocked up full prototypes, and Sony can say, all right, we've got this thing built, we're testing it, it's working great. So how are we going to split the revenues when we license the technology to other people? And Nintendo said, license the technology to other people? Split the revenues. You guys are fucking crazy. We're going to keep all this for ourselves. And Sony said, what? And it really got ugly from there. And so Nintendo said, well, you know what? If you aren't willing to play by exactly our rules, we'll go to the other company that made the CD, Philips, and we'll have them make us a CD drive, and we just completely will ignore all this work you've done. Enjoy writing that off to your stockholders. To which Sony said, really? You're just going to walk away from this? Okay. Mr. Dude, who worked internally to make the PlayStation, we're going to take the Nintendo name off of this, and we're going to sell this on our own. And this guy was, who is now known as the father of the PlayStation, Ken Kutaragi, said, that's great, but I got an even better one for you. I can retool this to make it not a 16-bit, but a 32-bit system, go one generation ahead, and we will totally destroy Nintendo with the technology they helped us develop. And they did. In 1991, the PlayStation came out, and Nintendo basically took a backseat to PlayStation, because the PlayStation is still, to this day, the best-selling console system of all time.
Yep.
Wow. Well,
I would say it's not only because of the technology, but they also too changed who they marketed to. Sony realized about that time that, hey, most of the people playing video games are not between the ages of 5 and 15 like they thought, but were between the ages of 15 and 30, 35. And so all of a sudden you had these ultra-violent and more story-based kind of games that came out with the PlayStation.
there was some of that. The other great advantage that Sony did, besides that going to a CD, which while being easier to pirate, also made programming and development a lot simpler. They made the architecture of their software system incredibly easy to program for, which Nintendo never did. And they really catered to the outside developer market. Some of the great Nintendo games of all time were in-house made by Nintendo. Sony didn't give a darn about actually coding video games. They wanted to make it easy as possible for every other video game maker to code video games for the PlayStation, which was really sort of a big shift, which worked very, very well for them.
yep, and they're still doing quite well. I don't know what the numbers are, but I know, between the big three, the Wii kind of pushed Nintendo back to the fore for a while there. But I think Sony's kind of made up a lot of that ground again as well. And then you've got Microsoft still in the mix with the Kinect and doing quite well with that now, too.
The Xbox is a whole story onto itself. A guy named Jay Allard, who basically talked Microsoft into fighting the internet browser war, and wrote a very famous internal memo about how Windows was going to take over as with a bundled browser, the whole internet burgeoning. Yep. And then after that grand success, moved on and said, we're going to build a console and get in out of the PC market into the console market. And they had all these grand plans about how the Xbox is going to be a DVR and a console and a media center and all these things put together, which they're still creeping up on and haven't quite gotten there yet, even though Jay Allardson's left the company.
Yep. Well, Jay, so what should we be thinking about for next week?
Well, I have a penchant for liking to mark off anniversaries. Mm-hmm. And June 21st is the 7th anniversary of Spaceships One's first space flight. It had flown before, but this is the first time it actually got to what is considered space altitude of 100 kilometers. That sort of set off the whole private space flight era. But, you know, some folks don't really count, even the most ardent space folks, there's some of them that say that it's not really a spaceship because it never left the atmosphere, which is true. I mean, that was sort of, we'll get you to the logistical edge of space and get you a little time in zero gravity, but we're not going to leave the atmosphere and then have to come back. So they say Spaceship One has never really been a real spaceship, except that part of Spaceship One has only left the atmosphere, it's left orbit, and is now in interplanetary space. So what part of Spaceship One has left orbit, and how did it get there?
Wow, great question. Love it. Jay, you always come up with the best stuff, honest to God. I edge your seat questions.
I'm still waiting for the Jay Garman Geek Trivia book to come out. I think that would be an instant seller. Absolutely. Yeah. There's just a ton of great information, a lot of fun. That would be a great little bathroom book, I think. Not to put too fine a point on it.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Way to flatter the guest, Mike.
It was intended. It was intended in a complimentary manner. Absolutely. Well, Jay, on that note, people, of course, don't have to wait for the book to come out. They can go to jaygarman.net and find out all sorts of others. And you are a published author as well, which they can find that on your site also and get some good information there. And we'll hit back at you next week and have a little more time to spend probably too.
All right. Well, take it easy, fellas. Glad to talk to you.
As always, Jay. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks for being on the show, Jay.
You got it.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. He, isn't that great? It's wonderful the way he, here you have these game consoles and he's got the narrative behind it. It brings even more, makes it that much more interesting. And, who doesn't love to play video games? But, but he's got the whole backstory for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, hey, I'm going to quick flip into some spots and all that other good stuff. And when we come back, we're going to have on VaporStream and IT Harvest. They're going to talk to us about kind of some of the stuff we were just talking about with Wienergate and all that. I think they're going to tell us about ways we can deal with that and what's happening in the world today. But listen to this first. We'll be back at you in just about 2 minutes.
See you in a minute.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
The Round Lake Area Public Library is a proud sponsor of WRLR. The library provides current information, formal education support, independent learning opportunities, and life enrichment materials to a highly diverse public by a trained team of individuals who will nurture a love for reading and learning. The Round Lake Area Public Library is located at 906 Hart Road in Round Lake and is open Monday through Sunday. The phone number is 847-546-060. The website is rlalibrary.org. Se habla español.
Park Automotive Repair, the oldest auto repair facility in Lake Villa, believes that if you treat customers fairly, they'll keep coming back. Park Automotive Repair provides a complete range of auto maintenance and repair services. Brakes, mufflers, engine rebuilding, transmission and differential repair. Local shuttle service provided. Located at the corner of Grand and Fairfield in Lake Villa, across from Caboose Park. Their number is 847-356-2925.
Need a late night chuckle? An after dinner giggle maybe? Whether it's classic or contemporary, parody or satire, we play it all on Super Happy Fun Time. From Bob Newhart to Bill Engvall, from Weird Al to whatever, we have a little of everything to make sure everyone's having a super happy fun time. Your host, Coffee and the Fox, will meet and exceed your daily laugh quota every Wednesday from 10 to 11 p.m. That's Super Happy Fun Time right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
All right.
Oh, that's great. That's trancy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little. It's a little Armin van Buuren for people that are in the...
I don't think trance music during our show is a good idea. I like it. I wish, you know, you could play it forever as far as I'm concerned.
Halfway to sleep anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, for me it's like, oh, you know. Yeah.
Now where is everybody today? Everybody today is out at the Round Lake Beach...
Beach Fest. Yeah, right down the street. Yeah.
I was afraid Bish were going to make us actually do our broadcast live from there. We would have had to be in front of real people. But fortunately, he gave us a thumbs up to kind of do it from in the studio so we could avoid as many technical issues as possible. I believe I've actually got both VaporStream and IT Harvest, on here. Jack, Richard, are you with us?
Yes, Michael. Good morning. It's Jack.
Good morning.
Hi, Michael. Richard here.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Wow. Can you believe it? We got it actually worked. I'm very impressed with the technical capabilities of the studio and staff here. We got everybody all online in one time. Well, you know, Jack and Richard, I was going to attempt to do an introduction to you guys. I'm going to let you take it yourself. Jack, why don't you introduce yourself first, and then we'll let Richard chime in too.
Thanks a lot. Yes, Jack Kimbrough, I'm calling you from Boston, where there's a large parade. I heard you mention the Beach Fest. We have a parade going on here for celebrating another world championship in yet another sport that we've got. I am the president and CEO of a company called VaporStream, which is a secure messaging service that we offer.
Mm-hmm. And Richard, now you're with IT Harvest. What is IT Harvest, and what do you do with them?
Yeah, so I'm an industry analyst, so it's my job to stay on top of, in particular, the security industry and be familiar with as many of the vendors as I can. There's 1,200 vendors I have to track. And in order to do that, of course, I've got to be on top of the entire threat space so I can see these upcoming technologies that address new threats as they occur.
Mm. And that has got to be an exceptionally difficult and time-consuming job these days. The number of security breaches that we've heard about in the news recently, not only large, like Sony size kind of things, but then also too personal level stuff with Mr. Wiener and his crew. How do you manage to kind of keep abreast of this stuff?
Well, sometimes I feel that the news cycle is conspiring to keep me from getting my work done. I'm trying to write a book that's a little bit historical about all these breaches and attacks, and I have to stop to cover real-time events.
Exactly. It's just not getting any easier. And I imagine, you know, one of the things that I know Dave is very interested in hearing about is the Blundies. And so you must have this
definitely
unending stream of entries for the Blundies that are unintentional, that are just being published in the news.
You know, and it ranges from, we saw a Super Bowl ad that illustrated that, didn't we, where the fella hit reply all and then runs around and pulls out all of the RJ45s and just tries to, you know, stop the message from going through. And we're getting inundated with stories, embarrassing stories. It's akin to that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what? I mentioned the Blundies, but I apologize. I haven't explained to listeners exactly what it is. You know, Jack, can you explain what is the Blundies? What is it about? Can listeners get involved with it? A little background on that.
Sure. Thanks, Michael. So the Blundies are a contest that we're running here at VaporStream. Our product allows you to send messages that are ephemeral. They disappear after you read them, and there is no record of them anywhere. Well, the other side of that is a traditional email or a traditional text, which exists forever and could end up, and often does end up, embarrassingly, someplace where you didn't intend it to go. And so our Blundies is a way we're looking for the best stories, the best vignettes, if you would, about how someone, boy, this wonderful mode of communication, email or text, and it came back and gave them unintended results. And we're offering prizes for the best.
Excellent. And I know that there's people out there that have some excellent examples of this. I could probably dredge my memory and find a few as well. Although I'm typically pretty good about keeping an eye on that. Once you make one dumb mistake or you're exposed to one, you know, hopefully you'd think people would learn. Although I don't know if that's true. I don't know if there's been any research done or anything on how frequently people tend to make mistakes. Dave mentioned one that you had a Twitter.
Well, first of all, are the Blundies confined just to texts?
It is any electronic messaging. So
any electronic messaging. Yeah. Yes. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with this Retrievo survey that they polled 1,000 people, and 3% of the poll said that a social posting or tweet or Facebook, something like that, had ruined their marriage or relationship. 6% said a post led to problems at home or work.
And 50% said they had tweeted or sent something that they felt embarrassed by.
Actually, I misread that. The number is 50% if you're under 25. Over, if you have an iPhone, it's 51%. Android phone, it's like 43%, that kind of thing.
Oh, so they even broke it out by
they broke it down by the operating system, whatever, the hardware.
Well, you know what it is, Dave? People think of it after the fact. After the fact, when it comes, gee, I should not have done that. And why is that? Because we've gotten so used to this instantaneous communication, and the only way that we can do it right now is by saying, gee, I'm going to hit send, going to be published. And we don't offer people an easy way to send something that remains private and remains personal.
Mm-hmm.
What fun is that?
And I think I don't know if it's so much of a qualitative difference, but there's certainly a quantitative difference in that your messages now can be not only shared, but they can be shared massively and instantaneously, across the board. It's a lot different than, you know, if you got a letter from somebody and you could photocopy it and send it to friends.
Wasn't one of your cool sites of the week last week or the week before about emails that evaporate or something, emails that that don't last long?
There are. Now in this, we're going to get probably into some discussion on VaporStream itself here, because we've covered some sites that are available out there where you can say send somebody an email, but it gives really a link to a web page, and then once they view the web page once, it disappears, and it's not accessible anymore by the sender or the receiver. But VaporStream is a little different than that. You guys set yourself up a bit different. How does VaporStream solve this issue of not having privacy anymore with your email?
So the vapor beam solution is, it's two parts. One, that one that you described, you're trusting that someone's going to erase something on the server and that the only place it exists on the server. Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Our approach is you never record the message anywhere. It's not recorded on your authoring device. It's not recorded through the network. It's not recorded at the viewer. Okay, and we do that by using RAM-based memory or video memory for the display memory, so nothing's ever written anywhere. There is no record. There's one copy of the message, okay, which is, it's a completely unique, it's a patented approach, actually. Mm-hmm. So the message, you don't have to do anything to erase something because it never exists. You view it, and just like on your TV screen, every 30 seconds they replace the video that's up there. Every time you replace the window that you're viewing something on, what was on the past window is gone.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does that work when if I want to send somebody a message, as a reply to something, do they have time? I guess I'm missing maybe the picture of how it works on a live basis. I want to send a message to Dave. I'm sending him a picture I took. I'm out at a bar, but I don't want anybody else seeing it. And so I shoot him the message and say, hey, Dave, you should come on down. Does he have to be an own vapor stream? Do we both have to have it installed? What can he do or not do with the message and the picture?
He can view it. What he can do is view it, and he does not have to have anything installed from VaporStream. He can view it over a mobile browser or through a typical web browser web page. Mm-hmm. It's easier if he has a little agent there because he'll be notified that the message is there. We can push it to his BlackBerry, okay? Mm-hmm. But not required. He can go in and pull it. He can reply to you and only to you, and he can say, "Yeah, I'll be right down. Draw me a Guinness. I'll be right over." Okay? He cannot, however, he cannot copy, cut, paste, forward, or print the message. The picture that you sent him, he can view it, and when he stops viewing it, when he closes the window that the picture's in, it's gone. Forensically verified, there's nothing left on that machine. There's nothing left on my machine, so by the way, it transited my private network, and it hit, the only servers that it hit on, en route, where my servers have no spinning disk in them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it passed through RAM on my, so it's actually pretty cool. The other thing about our message, Michael, our messaging service that is part of our patent is the fact that whenever someone sees a message, they can certainly take a picture of it, right? I mean, we read things in clear text. Everyone's walking around with a 10 megapixel camera on their phone or whatever, and they can take a picture. And in three clicks, that to Facebook, right?
Yep, yep.
Okay, so, gee, if ever that thing's live on the screen, I can take a picture of it. Well, what we've done is said, rather than try to keep people from taking a picture of something, why don't we let them take a picture and make the picture meaningless? So that message that you sent to Dave came to him in two parts. The first part was, a message waiting for you from Michael. He clicked on that. The message came to him and it said, come on down to the bar. We're having a great time. Look at this picture. But the fact that it came from you and it went to Dave was on a screen that now no longer exists. So the message is unattributable.
Great.
So I see what you're saying. So even the headers of the message itself aren't visible anymore. So although you could show either theirs that someone sent you a message or the message itself, as far as legally, there's no correlation between the two.
That's exactly right. An email from the CEO of Citibank that's to his board of directors that says, we're going to exceed earnings by a dollar this quarter, is actionable. Someone could do that and do something with it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But a vapor stream that says, that came in two parts, and you only have the second part says, we're going to exceed earnings by a dollar this year. Boy, that's interesting, but so what? Oh, it's from the president of Citibank. Yeah, right.
now that leads to an interesting question, though. There is a lot of you know, legality right now about messaging, SOX compliance and all this other business. And I know most of the places that I've worked have required, in fact, that we maintain a lot of our communication, historically.
Retain it.
Yeah, retain
store, yeah. Store the information.
So how does VaporStream kind of work and fit into that, this kind of new legality, this new situation of having to keep this? Is this a way around it, or, I mean, you know, is it kind of up to the individuals to determine what's legal or not?
It is absolutely legal to not retain your written communication. Okay, Gartner came out with a report, and this is a gross misconception that's out there. Gartner came out with a report last summer that said 1% of the emails are required to be retained by regulatory, you know, have regulatory requirements, right? Mm-hmm. Generally broker-dealer stuff, FINRA regulations. But the idea that your company is saving, I mean, does it pass your common sense test that your company is saving your email where your wife sent you, hey, would you pick up a loaf of bread on the way home? And that they have the right to retain that and read it and store it? I mean, that's nuts. There is no law. You have a right to privacy. In fact, in Europe, if a company wants to save emails, save all of their employees' emails, they have to give the employee an alternative email that is not saved from their company desktop. Think about it. Until the day comes, and we'll all be wearing those V for Vendetta masks, but until the day comes where you have to walk around with a tape recorder to record every conversation that you have, okay, why does it make any sense that someone can save all of my written communication? They're not recording every one of my phone calls, I hope.
Well, yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's frightening. It's actually scary.
Well, I think you make a valid point, and we have kind of let our right to privacy or expectation of right to privacy slip away a bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I think that's exactly right. There's so many stories right now about people who had some expectation of privacy, which has been proven to be wrong. You know, I mean, Wiener is the most recent and perhaps easily humorous.
let me pose this to you: the other issue with this gentleman. So all of this stuff is retained and it's sitting in an archive somewhere. Okay. And all of those emails, all of those messages or whatever are sitting in a corporate archive somewhere. What happens to that archive? I mean, we're at war with other countries in a cyber war where people are coming and attacking those archives, mm-hmm. and stealing information from us. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, and that's one of the things that surprised me too with this was hearing how many companies and individuals and government organizations are using services like Gmail. And then, you know, Gmail is being attacked from China. You know, we may not be in an actual war, physical war with China, but we're certainly in an economic competition, let us say, with some of these other countries. And you know, not having some reliable way to be secure in our communications and to be able to have plans, business, military, or otherwise, and not be reasonably secure that they're not going to be discovered is rather frightening, even from a consumer point.
Well,
and Gmail's got, you know, very lacking security. They only have a password to protect it. And everybody, since there weren't any incursions on their email, it even helps back to, you know, 10 years ago, I was giving my first presentation about the internet, and one of the co-presenters was from the Justice Department, and he said, there's no need for, you know, email security, because if it were possible to hack into email, we'd all be reading, you know, Marcia Clark's email back, you know, in 1995, that was a pretty big deal, the DA prosecuting O.J. Simpson. And that one truism that I've, you know, just observed over and over in security is whatever threat you can think of, even if it doesn't exist today, will exist tomorrow. And of course, in the last 10 years, we've had The email servers of the Pentagon and Whitehall in the UK and the German Chancellery, all compromised, and all the emails exfiltrated and all attributed back to China.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, no, it's very true. I'm not sure, what the ultimate, answer to that's going to be, but it does seem that there's a lot of, intrusion from China specifically, lately and causing a lot of hate. I'm going to take us on a slightly different tack for a second though. You mentioned, of course, you send these emails, you send this message and you look at it once and it's gone. But clearly there's messages that I don't want to disappear. If my wife sends me a shopping list, if I call back, and get home without the milk and tell her, well, I'm sorry, you sent it by vapor stream and I,
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the same, there are times when you want to have a record of your communication. Absolutely. And you use email and email or Twitter or instant messaging or whatever. And we've got that problem solved. You have the two coexist. So, in the same way that you choose to tweet something or email something, you also choose to vapor stream something.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, I would suggest that what it does by offering you that third, that different way of doing it, though, is it makes you think about, gee whiz, do I want this to exist forever or do I not want it to exist forever?
Mm-hmm.
And just that consciousness then adds security to the overall system.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a sea change in the way we communicate, really, mm-hmm. and also just in our perceptions of what I think it's about time we took some of our privacy back. I really hadn't thought about it that much, and we've taken for granted that Sarah Palin's years of her emails can be posted online and that sort of thing. So it would be great. Yeah, I think it's a big shift in attitude.
And I think you hit it on the nose too. To be able to make that choice and to hopefully make that choice with some amount of discretion to say, this is a message that I really, it's important to me, it's important to the person I'm sending it to, but it's also important to us that no one else sees it necessarily, and not for nefarious reason, but just for privacy and for security reason, to choose that. Now, is this something, you said it's integrated, I know it's mentioned as a cloud service, does that mean that it's accessible and available, through if you're sending messages on your iPad, on your phone, on your computer, your Mac, or is it restricted right now to certain venues?
It is available ubiquitously through browsers. So we have a mobile browser, we have and we work with, of course, all of those standard laptop desktop browsers. Those browse and browser access is is global, is universal. If you want, the thing that browser access does not give you is a notification, a push. We cannot push to a browser. So we require a little bit of an agent on a BlackBerry or an iPhone, iPad, and we have agents, or even for your desktop. And there you get a notification when a message is sent to you, Android also.
Mm-hmm.
So each of those, it's optional, but it gives you then notification that a message has been sent.
Excellent. Well, that makes it very easy. I think the biggest danger I can see with this is, I can barely remember what I've had for breakfast most mornings. Someone's sending me a message, vapor stream, and I would read it and say, okay, I need to act on this. And then, and then a minute and a half later going, what did he say? Who was that? What?
Yes. Well, Michael, you're absolutely correct. And it takes, honestly, it takes some getting used to. I mean, it really does take a little bit of getting used to. But just like any new application or any new thing that you do, after a few tries, I got it. The ability to separate the message, to send the anonymous message, as I mentioned earlier, where your name is only on the first page and that goes away. Well, gee, if you put your normal signature page on, a signature book on the message, that kind of defeats that purpose.
Yeah.
So, it does require a little bit of a rethink. It's not,
you know, I mean, we're not asking you to do anything unnatural, but you got to think about it. It's technology.
Yep.
It's technology moving forward.
Yeah, and for the benefits that you get, I think it seems like a relatively small price to pay. You know, unfortunately, Jack, Richard, we're going to have to start pulling it to a close here. But I want to make sure that people have the information that they need in order to find out more. You know, if they're interested, if they've got some great stories to share about mistakes that they've made, how can they find out more information about the Blundies?
Right from our homepage, there's a link to the Blundies rules and submission form. So vaporstream.com. Please take a look at it, please. And please take a look at our services. It is offered for free for a month. Give it a shot.
Okay. And Richard, if they're looking for more information about IT Harvest and kind of a security outlook in general, where can they find out the information that you guys are providing?
They can find all information about IT Harvest at www.it-harvest.com. And if they want to hear, you know, my latest views on current events, just follow the Cyber Domain blog on Forbes.com.
Fantastic, fantastic.
And Michael, let me interject. Richard's got a great, he's very modest. He's got a great book out there called Surviving Cyber War. If people really want to delve into this thing,
sounds interesting.
It's a fantastic read. It really is.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Richard, maybe I'll take a look at it as well, and maybe I can talk intelligently about it in the next few.
or maybe not.
Maybe I can just talk about it. Talk intelligently might be shooting too high. But, at least talk about it. Guys, I hate to do it. We're always seem pressed for time. I knew this was going to happen. It's just an honor and a great, great set of information. Really appreciate having you guys on, and hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
We'd look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Great. Jack, Richard, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy the parade, Jack, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you. Look for me. I'll be down there in the Bruins jersey.
Thanks, guys.
It's easy to spot.
Take care, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Good job. Oh, man, a ton of food for thought there.
Fun stuff. Yeah, yeah. Good. Thanks.
You know what I was thinking, though, you know, almost nothing I send rises to the level of needing to keep it secret or just not to have it out there.
There is that.
But then again, I'm old, you know. So,
yeah. I was thinking that too. You know,
no!
Happily married, and there's not a lot of things that I need to hide either.
But like credit card numbers, social security numbers, that kind of thing. It would be good to have that a little undercover.
As a matter of fact, I just recently had that issue. I've been doing some consulting work and things, and one of the people, in order to produce a check for me and all this, required my social security number. Well, they were asking for it via email, and I said, you know, I just don't feel comfortable shooting you back by email my social number.
Yeah.
We can either do it on the phone or wait till I come in next. But having an option like VaporStream available would have been a neat little thing,
yeah,
a little trick.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we would have a lot of time for this, but I'm hoping.
It's that time again, folks. Sit back, relax, and listen to the cool sights of the week.
Oh yes, oh yes. And, you know, the problem I've got, I'm a few weeks behind on the podcast now. Those who listen to the podcast may have noticed. So I've had people tell me that I've doubled up a few times, and I apologize. But the sites are so cool, they're cool enough to hear about them twice. That's what I say. I know. Hey, I got one really quick.
To all of our listeners, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry.
And you know, yes, we are rather
sorry. Stuff happens. You know.
One, I've got to tell you about this. This is fantastic. Now, we've talked about a lot of different sort of screen sharing and, VNC, cross loop, and all this. But there's still a huge following. Log Me In has got some easy free stuff but you have to do all these installations. LogMeIn's got a new service out that I was very impressed with. It's called join.me. That's the whole website, the whole thing. And you go in there, similar to a cross loops type situation, if you're familiar with that, where you say either you want to share or you want to join. If you click the share button, you're prompted to install a small app, which is going to share your screen into a secure one-time use code, which you can then give to your buddy who's on that join.me screen. Types it into the join side, and wham, bam, there you are. You're looking at each other's screens. You can share it. You can, And, so it's a great way if you really need to show somebody something, quick and get some opinion or advice on
join.me.com.
Join.me. No.com at all. Just
join.me. That's what you meant.
Join.me.
Very cool. That's it.
That's it. Now here's
That's a great domain.
Yeah, I like that. It's real easy to use. So join me. You know, you just tell them, hey, go to join me, and you got it. Here's another quick one, and I think that'll be the end of the Cool Side Week. XNConvert.com. XNConvert is this really nifty little app. I don't know if you're like me. I've got like, I can't even, uncountable, a bazillion little pictures and photos all over the place. And, you know, I've tried to keep them sorted and all that. But every once in a while, I need to send them to people. I need to say, you know, hey, here's pictures from our wedding anniversary or from the party we were just at. Take a look at these and check them out. But they're too blasted big to send by email. And all this other business. XConvert lets you take all of the images and perform batch conversions on them. So you can resize them. You can crop them. You can do, and all of it on all of the files all at once. You put it, you know, direct it to a folder, bring them up, do a simple filtering, all sorts of things.
Wow.
All in a batch format, completely free. Very cool stuff. XNConvert.com. If you're looking to do a bunch of neat stuff with images, maybe you just need to convert them from PNG to JPEG or from RAW to BitMap or something because nobody can read RAW. So
batch conversions online. Very cool.
I love batch conversions. Anyways, you know, I just anything doing batch.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, yeah, but whenever you're doing batch convert, there's always unintended results. So there's that one file that's not supposed to be there or something.
Yeah, you rotate them all by
one. Not just one. It's usually more than that.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave it at that. That's going to be our cool sites of the week. The podcast, the only song of the day today. Now, this is, how about this for a blast from the past? The Cars. Did you know The Cars had a new album out?
Yeah. Well, I did know that. Yeah.
I was.
I remember not being all that excited because I think I bought one of their last albums.
Well,
since their heyday, this one's got good reviews, I think.
I've only heard a few songs off of it so far. Yeah. I bought a couple of the singles. Actually, I got a free single at Starbucks, so shouts to Starbucks.
A free car single.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. If you go to Starbucks, they've got a little thing in the front there where
I'm off caffeine.
I don't typically either, but you know, I got the new. Here's another cool side of the week for you. Android, you can get now the Starbucks app. So if you are a Starbucks user, you put it on there, load in your card number, or log it in, and whatever else. And now you don't need those silly cards. You don't need to run around with them anymore. The barcode and everything is right there on your phone. It's just like the Easy Pass at United terminals and so on. You just walk up.
So you make it a little easier for Starbucks to track you.
Yeah. Exactly. They can track you. You can keep track of your card and your stars and all the other business.
Follow around with a follow behind you with Starbucks van.
Exactly. And a goat. Oh, no, that's
a goat.
That's a gum commercial.
I have to watch more commercials.
All right, yeah. At any rate, this is called Sad Song. It's by The Cars. I think you'll like it. If you like the old school Cars, it's very similar. Very similar stuff.
Cool.
And we're going to leave you now. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Happy Father's Day.
That's right. Yeah. Happy Dad's Day to all the dads out there, too. And don't forget to show up for a few minutes at the Beach Fest today as well in downtown.
Right. By the Civic Center. Yeah, on Hook Drive. I can't remember the exact address. It's not far from PetSmart, I know. It's right by the post office.
Look for the banners. You see the banners. You can't miss it.
Yeah, but it's on Hook Drive, just west of 83.
I think Dennis Whiten's going to be down there, and Bish.
Lots of people.
Lots of people. Yes. RLR is well represented.
And probably. I think we might be in trouble for not being there, but.
No. I took care of it. I sent a text. I should have sent a vapor stream, but I sent a text to Bish this morning asking if I had to show up there, if it was okay to be here. So.
Yeah. Okay.
At any rate,
thanks for listening.
It's The Cars, Sad Song. You've been listening to Tech Talk on WLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Next time.